The Lord said to Moses, "Come up here, you and the people that you brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants, and I will send the angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, and the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites into the land of flowing milk and honey. But I will not go up in the midst with you, because you are stiff-necked people, lest you are consummated on the way." And when the people heard this bad news, they were mourning, and no one put on their ornaments, because Jehovah said to Moses, "Say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. In a moment, I will ascend in the middle of you, and I will consume you. Take off your ornaments so that I know what I have to do with you." Then the children of Israel stripped off their ornaments from Mount Horeb, and Moses took the tabernacle and raised it far away outside of the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And whoever sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of the Meeting, which was outside the camp. And one thing is counting on God's favor, and other is counting on His presence. It is something totally different. His favor opens doors for us. Favor makes the promises that God has given to our lives, so they are fulfilled. Favor gives grace to everything that I am going to do. Imagine starting a business and not having to wait for years to begin to progress, but rather that it begins to happen in the same year that you opened it. You begin to prosper. The doors open to you. You can do many more businesses. That is called favor. You are going through a moment of need, and you are going to knock on the door. And it turns out that the only one who opens it for you, that there are four doors that which were open. That is called favor. Now imagine also knocking on the door, and that the owner of the company attends to you and tells you, "Tomorrow you will start working." That is called favor. Imagine that you are needing a new move in your life, and things begin to happen. You are surprised. Surprised and wow, but God is good. How tremendous. That is called favor. Now, it is what God said to Moses when he was about to give him the promised land. He said, "Moses, go with the people, because I'm going to give them grace. I'm going to give them favor." But Moses, you have to understand something. You can count on my grace. You can count on my favor. But there is one thing, Moses. These people have been so stiff-necked. In other words, these people have been so proud, so stubborn, so difficult, that I'm going to send my angel to go before you. Everything that I promised, I'm going to give it to you. But my presence is not going to go in your midst. It seems like a good negotiation, right? Now, for those who like to live well without understanding who God is, and most importantly, for that person, it would be a good negotiation. And they would choose it and say, "Well, it's fine. Let's go." It's what's happening today as the Church of God. What is happening to us today as children of God? We want only His favor. But we do not want Him to intervene in the most important decision of our life. We want to continue having the control. We want to continue making our own decisions because we think what we do is correct. We have filled ourselves with stubbornness, pride, believing that life has taught us a lot and that we are always right. We go to Sunday service and we receive the word and we say, "What an elegant word, so beautiful." We listen to a devotional and we say, what a good word, but we do not apply it because we consider that it could be for another person, less for us. We are so full of pride. We are so full of stubbornness. And every time we ask God, there is always a personal motivation. There is always something we want for ourselves. We have been able to analyze our last prayers. Have we been able to analyze our last prayers? When we cry out to God, what do we ask for? God knew the heart of his people and told Moses, I am going to keep my promises. I don't know what decision you would make. The favor or his presence. Maybe you'll say, Pastor, the presence of God is more important. But you are absolutely right. But you know what the problem is? You have not allowed the presence of God to direct your steps, to guide you, to show you what you have to do. And then you have settled for the favor, and everything we have asked of God has become something that is his favor towards us, and not letting ourselves be guided by the Holy Spirit, by his presence. Today, through this word, I want to worry you that you want his favor or his presence. The favor means that God is going to fulfill all the promises to you. I once taught this word and said, well, that God will fulfill everything to you. What a blessing. But there is nothing sadder than to reach everything in quotation marks and get home and you pray and know that he is not there. I begin to think about this. I said, Lord, it serves all the treasures of this world. What does it serve me? Having a good house, a good car, traveling, praying for the sick, and they be healed, reaching many. What is the use of this devotional being heard in many places? What is the use of writing? What is the use of this or the other? To be in quotation marks, someone of success. If your presence is not going to be there for me to enjoy it, it's the same as Moses later talking to God and says to him, Lord, I am in the desert. Moses was in the desert now. Who in the desert does not want to be in abundance? Who in scarcity does not want to close his eyes and feel that he is in abundance? They were in the desert. Who in the desert would have light to tell God, well done, do it in my life, but now I want to go to the promised land. But look at this, Moses. He said to God, if your presence does not go with me, do not take us out of here. If your presence, this is so wonderful. This is so precious. Because look, he could understand the importance in trusting. He could understand the importance of who God is and not what he can simply give you. How sad that today we are living a gospel which moves more and moves the masses simply because of what God can give. This reminds me of the number of people who follow Jesus. When Jesus asked his disciples, what do people say that I am? They said, some say that you are a prophet. They say that you are this and the other. And then he asked them, and you who say that who I am, wherever, and everyone was silent. Only Peter said, you are Christ. You know something? Many people followed Jesus for miracles. Now, Jesus continued to perform miracles. He did not despise them. But at a certain moment, he disturbed them and said, you follow me because I feed them. Imagine leaving all your work and simply watching television for the food to arrive, the money to pay the bills, etc., etc. They followed Jesus because they were hungry. He multiplied loaves and fishes and fed them. More than twice, Jesus fed many crowds until in a moment, Jesus confronts them and tells them, you are looking for me for what I give you, but you are not looking for me for what I am. Any resemblance to reality? I think it's not a mere coincidence. We seek God for what he can give us and not for what he is, for his essence. We seek favor, although we say that the presence is more important. We seek favor and we are not satisfied with the presence of God. And let me tell you something. If you are looking for the favor, you are looking for the additions, and the additions come and go. Perhaps the owner of the addition is not better. Moses was saying to the Lord, I don't care if I'm still in the desert. I don't care. What matters to me is your presence, because he knew who God was. I ask you, do you know who God is in your life? Do not stay alone with knowing the provider God or the healing God. Love him for who he is. Now you can have the favor and God will fulfill what he promised. Love, of course, yes, but if God told you today, I will heal you. I will fulfill what I promised, for my presence will move away from you. When you pray, I will no longer be there to listen. That is if you are going to have everything you always wanted. Ask, what would you choose? Do not be like to say, the presence of God. Look in your heart. What is really in it? What is our motivation when approaching God? He gets us out of the mess. He gets us out of the problems. And when we got rid of the problems, we returned. One day Jesus healed 10 leopards, but only one recognized who Jesus was, because he came to thank and follow him. The other 9 simply left. Now, which group am I part of the 9 who left, or the one who came to give thanks to Jesus? I think it's time to look where we are, to make a stop and begin to see what I want for my life, the favor or his presence. If you really want his presence, you choose the correct answer, because his presence always brings favor. But favor does not always mean that his presence is there. Moses told him, I prefer the desert with your presence in abundance. And the people come to their senses, felt bad because God had condemned them to say with that they recognized, and sadly, definitely, there may be abundance, but if your presence is not there, this is useless. God told him to take off your ornaments to know what to do with you. What do I need, Pastor? Let go of yourself and let the presence of Jesus really rule your life. Father, we thank you for your words. Thank you, Lord, because your presence is better than life. Peter said at some point, to whom we will go if only you have words of eternal life. Lord, you are life itself. How good to count on your favor, for your presence is better. We forgive because the motivation of our hearts many times when asking was to yearn only for the favor, and we recognize that we did not let your presence rule our life because we felt comfortable with what we already had. And we thought, Lord, that we were fine. But really, it's not like that. And you give us your word to realize, Heavenly Father, that really the favor is good, but your presence is better. Today we choose your presence. We need you, Lord. Yesterday is already past. Today we need you more than yesterday. Start today, Lord. Be our Savior, but be our Lord. Rule in our life. In the name of Jesus, we put everything in your hands today, and we move forward in your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. This was a translation from your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. He spoke to you.